Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Sing it out, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working. In the precious blood on the second. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come to cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Sing it, there is power, oh power. Wonder working power. In the blood, oh, on the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Sing the chorus. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working. In the prayer, sing it one more time. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing it out.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's land. And sinners plunged beneath that blood. Washed all my sins high.
I know we sing that song a lot in all different kind of ways, but I cannot get over about Jesus. There is a fountain that's filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. I'm glad that he washed all my sins away. Aren't you glad about that? Say amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Man, did we have a service this morning? Wasn't it wonderful? I like it when the Lord shows up. And, you know, he's still in the saving business. He's still saving souls, and that's what it's all about, is it not? We have some folks that are with us tonight that I believe most that are here that are visitors right now are first time, but a lady by the name of Miss Shirley Mays is here, and she's visiting for the first time, and I'd like us to give her a hand for being here. Absolutely. And then Miss Kim brought her friend tonight named Destiny. And, of course, it's Will's friend, not Miss Kim's friend. But anyway, so Miss Destiny Davis is here. And it kind of scared me when William said Davis. I thought he was going to say Davis, and it scared me to death. But anyway, she's here tonight. Let's give her a hand for being with us, I believe, for the first time. And then, of course, Tabitha's mom and dad and grandmom are all here to see Miss Katie get baptized tonight. So let's give them a hand and thank them for being here so very, very much. Well, men, if you would, you come at this time to take up the tithes and the offerings. Now, this is it as far as getting the VIP passes in. Remember, these are the... these passes is what the nominating committee is going to use to know who wants to do what and helps us to place people in a desired area of ministry. And we won't be able to fulfill everyone's wishes, but I felt like that this would help us to know where people's hearts were and enable us to help them minister in those particular areas. And so if for some reason you don't have it in your hand, drop it in the offering plate right after church. Go back there on the table, get one or all four of them, fill them out, and get them to William, because starting this week, the nominating committee have got to get busy. We are behind schedule, but it was by design. So nobody panic. Everything's going to be okay. All right. Well, I want to ask one of you men to pray if I can just remember your names. Brother LaQuire, if you don't mind, please. Ask the Lord to bless us.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? Who taught the ocean you can only come this far? And who bring me victory,
and I we're changing up. Kim asked me why you put that up. It's in the, will you go grab two of those brown books? Sorry about that. We got singing that song. I felt like this one would go right along with it. How old is she? The young lady got saved this morning. Huh? Katie. She's 10. 10 years old. You know, we've all, if you've been in church any length of time, you hear people talk about their testimony of how they got saved, and a lot of them got saved later in life, and they talk about, Brother Joe, they talk about how life was before salvation and the things they went through and the sin they committed and the life they lived and how it did anything but honor God. And I'm so thankful that they got saved. We were talking about, Brother Alton was preaching about this morning, talking about leading a lady that was 100 years old, senior, I believe, did. A lady was 100 years old to the Lord. And I love to hear those testimonies, but, man, isn't it something when the Lord gets them early and they don't have to worry about what's coming down the road? Still going to face life. We're not promised anything rosy or easy as a Christian. In fact, it's probably everything the other way. But 10 years old, I was 7, just about 8 years old, when the Lord saved me. And I didn't know how to describe it. And Christmas was the biggest thing that I knew at 8 years old. Christmas was it. We never were big on birthdays. I married into a family that they treat birthdays like it was, you know, New Year's Eve or something. I don't do the birthday thing as much, and I just never understood the big hoopla because we just never did birthdays that big. But Christmas, my mother worked a job just to pay for Christmas, and that's all it went to is pay for Christmas presents. And so to me at 8 years old, that was the biggest thing that I'd ever known. And so on the way home that night, I said, Mama, that was better than Christmas, because at 8 years old, I didn't know what to compare it to. It's still better than Christmas, too. Better than anything I could ever imagine. And so proud to be a Christian this evening. And folks walk in here from all walks of life, 10 years old. Some come in here that have lived those hard lives, and the Lord will save them just the same. And you ask us why. It's because of him tonight that we do all that we do. Why do we get up here and sing and carry on and preach and invite and try to do? It's all about him in advancing the cause of Christ. You pray for us tonight.
It's been a long journey, But each battle she's faced has proven God faithful time and again, and a chance to tell others who were right where she's been. If you're somewhere between doubt and believing, my God has the answers for all that you're needing. Ask me who, and I'll tell you it's Jesus. Ask me how, and I'll say it's the blood. Ask me where, and I'll take you to Calvary.
Ask me why.
God's praise and when first begun. Let's sing Amazing Grace. Sing it now. Oh, amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yes, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Listen now.
There'll be no sorrows there. There's no more burdens, no more burdens to bear. And there's no more sickness, and there's no more pain. Where there's no more parting. No parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, yes, a glorious day that will be. Now listen to this again, listen. Oh, there'll be no more sorrows there. There's no more burdens for us to bear. There's no more sickness. There's no more pain. There's no more parting over there. And forever I'm gonna be with the one who died for me. Oh, oh, what a day. Yes, it's gonna be a glorious day that will be. Sing it.
Sing it now.
Yes,
what a day.
Praise the Lord. Amen, Pastor. Have at it. I think you should come up and say something, Pastor Payne. That's what I think. Yeah, won't you come up here and say something?
I just want to say before he says that I thank God for the opportunity to be standing in a service one more time and see my daddy get hooked up with the Lord.
Well, glory. What a day that will be, but I'll tell you what I remember that day. Well, glory. Most of you know about it, but I got to shout it out again. When I was about 12 years of age, I was talked into joining the church and being baptized. And for that years, I was, until I was about 20 years of age, I was a lost church member. But then I took a job and I moved up to Atlanta and I was having a good time. But I'll tell you what, God intervened in my life. Singing with a little trio out there in a little place called just beyond Leland, Georgia. As they closed down the service, we got in the car and headed back to Atlanta, Georgia. Just about that time, we got to a little Leland community area. Wasn't anything but a Methodist church and two or three houses around. But in a sharp curve, there's a car, brand new Buick automobile, filled with drunk boys. Coming around that curve, just as fast as it could come, hit the car right in front of me. It just looked like it was going to smash right on top of us. And I said, hey, Lord. Now, I want to tell you, before that night was over, I got under real Holy Ghost conviction. Now, I realized there was something more than just joining the church, walking around, just shaking hands and preaching, getting the baptismal pool, and acting like and going to church regularly and thinking you was on your way to heaven. But I want to tell you one thing. Before that night was over, I realized I was a God in heaven. I was under conviction for about 2 months. I was trying to seek God. I'd try this. People say go to this church or do that. So I was doing everything everybody finally told me to do. But there was then one day, I'll never forget, I was coming home from work. I was coming so with such a burden, such a load, I couldn't go any further. I pulled into the driveway, got out of my car, went over into some rock boulders when they were cutting I-85 north. Right beside the house I lived in. Got down behind those boulders and I said, Lord, if you don't save me, I'm going to burst hell wide open. I prayed and I just could not get the victory. They was having revival service there at little D4 Avenue Baptist Church where I was attending at that time. I went into my house, into the house, and went into the best restroom, the bathroom to get shaved and get cleaned up to go to the service. I said, well, I might as well go on. Not like God's not going to do anything to me, but I guess I'll just go on to church anyway. I went into that bathroom, opened the door, turned the water on, looked myself in the face, and all of a sudden I realized there was somebody else in that room. Glory to God. God came into my heart. The Holy Spirit came in, and he's still there today. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Amen.
I tell you, when he comes in, he never leaves. And he's one guest you don't want to see go anywhere. This morning we talked about John 3:16, for God so loved the world. What a deep love he had. And then I was asking the Lord what to share with you this evening. And I'm just going to take a few minutes. And if you don't mind, turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And I like what Philip did. And he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and read Esaias, the prophet. And just for clarification, he was reading the book of Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And I like what Philip did again. You know what he did? And Philip ran. He didn't just go, he took off. He cut a chobe, is what my dad used to say when I was a little boy. Ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, talking about the Ethiopian, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he should, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment is taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, saying, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Now let me stop right there. Philip had obeyed the Lord, and he took off running, and he caught up with this eunuch that was reading there in his chariot. And the eunuch was reading the portion of Isaiah where it talked about the Lord Jesus Christ would stand before multiple judges and not open his mouth in his own defense. And the eunuch was saying, now is this Isaiah talking? Or is this some other man? Well, it was the God man. It was Jesus Christ that the eunuch was reading about but didn't know it. Our Lord Jesus was destined by his own Father to be crucified. Our Lord Jesus, it was determined by the Godhead that he would be that lamb, that ultimate sacrifice that would die for your sins and my sins. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, 100% God and 100% man. Just think about it. Jesus, standing before Pilate, could have spoken for himself, could have had Pilate and all the rest of that group, that crowd, tied up in knots. Jesus Christ could have spoken and walked out of that courtroom a free man. But he chose to keep silent where he needed to keep silent, with one goal in mind, and that was his goal to be crucified on the rugged cross for your sins and my sins. That's our Jesus. That's our Lord that Isaiah wrote about and Philippian taught this Ethiopian about. Well, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What's keeping me from being baptized? It's obvious he had heard some form of the gospel, but just not a clear presentation of the gospel. And he said, I heard what you said, Philip. I heard what Isaiah was saying about this man Jesus. So why can't I just get baptized and be saved? What keeps me from being baptized? And Philip said this: if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, and this is the eunuch talking, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And immediately, he commanded, chariot, stop! And he and Philip got down out of the chariot. The Bible says, let me tell you what it doesn't say. It didn't say that Philip reached into the bowl of water and sprinkled the eunuch. No siree. They went both down into the water. And that man that had professed Christ in just one verse prior, that man that said, I believe Jesus Christ is the very Son of God, he stepped down into the water with the evangelist, with that preacher named Philip. And Philip grabbed him by the hand, grabbed him by the head and by the nose, and dunked him. Symbolic of what God had done for this Ethiopian just a minute before, standing up in the chariot. Just a minute before, the Ethiopian was on his way to hell. A minute before, the Ethiopian wasn't sure his way to salvation. He wasn't sure if it was baptism. He wasn't sure if it was just believing in Christ. He wasn't sure just a minute before. But that old preacher, Philip, gave him the gospel. And just a minute after, the chariot stopped. He stepped in that chariot. The eunuch did. A lost man, doomed, his soul damned for hell. He stepped up in the chariot with no place to go. You know that chariot, you step into it, it is a dead end. It stops. That man, his life was representative of a dead end. He was going to hell. This thing was going nowhere until he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He stepped up into that chariot, lost and undone. But when he stepped down free from sin. Though his sin be like scarlet, when he stepped out of that chariot, he was white as snow in the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was then, ladies and gentlemen, it was only then that, thank God for a Bible preaching and believing minister, it was only then that he grabbed up the eunuch and said, now you're ready to be baptized. You say, are these individuals ready to be baptized? Every one of these individuals knelt on their knees, confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, and asked him to come into their hearts and to save them. Sydney knelt right here just a couple months ago and said, I've been a member of a church and so forth and so on, but I want to be sure I'm saved. Miss Katie came down here this morning, and it just so happened she knelt right here. And her daddy knelt right here. And I knelt right here. And the little girl said, Lord Jesus, come in my heart and save me. I'm a sinner. You know what she was saying? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Little Emily, a few Sundays ago, no, Wednesday night, wasn't it? Wednesday nights ago, somebody told the story of Jesus, and her little heart fell under conviction, and the realization that she needed a Savior. Yes, a 7-year-old little girl needed a Savior. Caused her to turn her head toward heaven and say, Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and clean me up. That's why they're being baptized. They're not being baptized tonight because that's going to get them to heaven. There's a lot of lost people been through the baptistry. A lot of lost people are going to go to hell after being baptized. The question you need to ask yourself is, do I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I'm not saying, and I'm not suggesting an intellectual belief, but I'm talking about a heartfelt belief. An understanding that this Son of God is not just the Son of God, but this Son of God, Jesus Christ, came to this old world, died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And then, I like this part, because it was prophesied back in Genesis, when he said, "It is finished," he stuck the heel of his foot through the skull of Satan and crushed the skull of Satan. That's what our Jesus did. And then, just to prove that not only did he whip the devil that day, but he also had death, hell, and the grave whipped too, he rose up. They went to the grave and, my goodness, the stone was rolled away. They went to the grave of Jesus and the seals that Pilate had placed on that stone had been broken. The ropes that were wrapped around were all disengaged. The men who were on guard at the grave were all wiped out and comatose because God put them to sleep. I'm telling you, he proved himself that day to be God in the flesh. That's why these young people, that's why Sydney's being baptized tonight. All this is their first step of obedience as a Christian. What a representation that we live with Christ, buried with Christ, and resurrected in Christ. I like it, don't you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, there's one here tonight that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. Would you be so kind as to prick their heart? Convict them, Lord. Love them. Draw them into yourself this evening. May we see, Heavenly Father, a lost person kneeling at the altar asking that you'll come in and redeem their souls. Thank you, God, for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood. Thank you, Lord, for your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the victory in which we have through you, Lord Jesus. May your hand be upon the congregation. God, may the Christian draw closer to you and the sinner confess their sins and be saved this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you please stand? If you don't know Christ as Lord this evening, won't you be born again today before it's eternally too late? Christian, you may have someone in your family or even a friend that has been a burden to you because they're lost and undone, and maybe you need to pray through for them that they'll be saved. The altar's also open. Oh, Christian, for you to pray for that person. So as we sing, you come as the Holy Spirit lays on your heart.
Search me, oh God.
Yes. Yes.
And know my heart today. There be
and set me free. She was down on her knees. She would never get free. Her accusers had stones in their hands, and they turned to Jesus just to see what he'd say. And the Lord, he just wrote in the sand. And they all walked away when they heard him say, "Let the sin free cast the first stone." And with tears on her face, her past was erased, and she stood in a moment of grace. Now the thief on the cross, he knew his life was lost. He must pay for the crimes of his past, and he's done nothing right. He was sure lose this fight, and his time, it was running out fast. He took his last shot, said to Jesus, "Why not? Remember me when you reach heaven's gates." And Jesus forgave all his sins, were erased, and he died in a moment of grace. A moment of grace. Undeserved favor. Unspeakable joy. My soul found an anchor. Swept my soul away, and he called my name, and everything changed in a moment of grace. Now I've been counted out by that self-righteous crowd. Who would say you're not worthy to live? Well, you've drifted too far, and you're stuck in sin's mire. You need a miracle that only God can give. Yeah, then Jesus came by, and with this reply, he said, "I choose you, just live for me today." And again he forgave, all my sins were erased, and I stood in a moment of grace. A moment of grace. Undeserved favor. Unspeakable joy. Cause my soul found an anchor. Unmerited love and mercy that swept my soul away. And he called my name, and everything changed in a moment of grace. Oh, unmerited love. Oh, and mercy that swept my soul away. Cause he called my name, and everything changed in a moment of grace.
Thank you. Praise his holy name. It's wonderful to be here today. My word, and how God's blessing you at Westside Baptist Church is to see souls saved, burst into the family of God, and on their way to heaven. Hallelujah. Church, it's our responsibility now to lead them and train them and live a life before them so that they can see Jesus shining through our lives. Let's stand.